You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, we're talking about the three times that you'll still need to do your homework, even as an adult. You know, when we become an adult, we figure, you know, we've gone through schooling, it's all behind us. When is the next time we're going to need to do any homework? And, you know, homework's one of those things that I think we think about school. You know, when we think about homework, we think about schools, we think about tests, we think about passing tests or getting into college or whatever it is. But when we get out of that school mentality, we forget all about doing our homework. And a lot of adults are out there going willy-nilly with not doing any homework when it comes to the three most important things when you have to do it. And so tonight we're going to talk about those three times that you still have to do your homework and why it really matters to you. Because this is important stuff. This is stuff that'll keep you out of trouble. This is stuff that'll help you in the end. And this is stuff that might even save your life or save yourself from losing a lot of money, property, assets, and even friends. This is important. You know how many times you could have saved yourself, and I know how many times I could have saved myself had I had done proper homework when it came to dealing with certain people, being in certain business opportunities with other people, making sure that this was a successful venture that I wanted to pursue, making sure that everybody involved were on the up and up. You know, we're going to talk about marriage later on in the hour because I think that's important too, because sometimes we accept things because we're in love. We accept things, we forget to maybe do our homework. Maybe love clouds our judgment. Maybe sex clouds our judgment. You know, even so, in business dealings, the idea of financially having more freedom, of making more money, of being in a better situation has a lot of amazing feeling to it that we have a tendency of not doing our homework. We don't realize that we have the opportunity here to make something work or not work. And I want to give a good example right now, something that really legitimately happened to me. And there were other people involved in this situation. And so if you were involved in the situation, I will definitely not use any names, but I know that you will resonate with my story and know exactly the person and the situation that I speak of. It was years ago, and it was about at least six years ago, and I had a really great idea because I love children, and I love educating children, and I just love it when kids get to see things that they weren't able to either see, weren't exposed to, like good quality artwork. You know, my biggest deal about artwork and kids, and I'm talking about the very good quality artwork. And you know, it's amazing when kids see things that are amazing to them and brings emotions to them and brings a smile to their face, because some of those exact children could be the next biggest artist in the whole world. But until they see it, they don't know that it can be accomplished. And so I really wanted to bring a place in my hometown where there would be an amazing art presentation. It would be like a gallery, like a museum, really, actually. It'd be this really cool art museum. But it wasn't all older artwork. It could be pop. It could be very artistic. It could be glass. It could be glass blown. It could be paintings, watercolors. It could be photography. All kinds of different things. And things from all over the world. All over the planet. Everything from Africa to Venice to everywhere. And I really wanted to have the ability for these children to see what art is and to give them an opening into their imagination to really jumpstart and to allow them to realize that maybe what they're thinking can be a reality. And so I wanted to open a museum that children could go to and take field trips to. And I wanted to do that in a nonprofit way where we were able to find someone that was willing to donate, but also have a portion, you know, obviously own the building and the process, but we would actually have a lot of the art that would be on a borrow system that would be on that places would give to us, the different museums, the different artists would loan to us to serve the children. And so they would change periodically. So we didn't have to necessarily buy all the artwork, because I knew that once people realized what was really going on here, they too would really want to be involved. And so the most important thing at this time was to find a building, to find a place that we could have this and house this artwork that was secure and big enough for children to come to, that it made sense, that it had like a good aura, a good feeling, a good vibration. And so I ended up meeting somebody through an artist friend of mine. And I met him and we talked for about 3 hours in a meeting. And I told him the idea I had. And he loved it. And, you know, from the way that he was presented to me and the way that he was introduced to me, it didn't matter. He seemed to have the financial means to do whatever he wanted to do. And so I asked him, I said, would you want to go and help find a property that would make sense? And so he's like, you know, I don't really have a lot of time to do that. I don't live in your hometown. I live out of state. But what I can do is you can show me what you're finding and we can work together. And I agree that I will put this money up and I will buy this place and I feel good about doing this. And so it was a very good feeling. And I began to contact artists all over the world, some of which I personally knew, some of the people that I knew, curators from different museums, different galleries. And I already had the green light with a lot of these artists, and some of these pieces are just, all the pieces are absolutely amazing. So months went by, about 6-7 months, and we kept looking for places, and all of a sudden, on the 7th month, I found a place. And it was everything it needed to be. It was an amazing place. And so I found this place, and, you know, at that point in time, knowing that, you know, this person said, yes, go ahead, I found a realtor that I really respected, and he was into commercial real estate and very good and has a lot of practice and a lot of years behind him. And so I contacted him. I contacted a friend of mine that's an architect that used to work for Stanley Marcus, for Neiman Marcus, for a long time. Not that that matters, but somebody that knows what he's doing, especially on keeping old foundations and keeping things, not updating them, but updating them in a sense for their workability, but not changing the look of the building. And so I got this crew together, and everybody was so happy because the vision was there. And so everything's good, and we finally agree to this place, and the gentleman comes down from out of town that's supposed to, you know, do all this stuff. He comes down, and he's like, I love it. This is great. Let's draw up contracts. I want to sign those tonight, and I want to get this going. And so he signed the contracts, and then he said that, yeah, there will be a SWIFT from Hong Kong coming through, which is like a deposit from Hong Kong from an outside country from bank. And we all waited for about 7 days on that, and it never came in. I think you know where I'm going with this. And as the days went by, I didn't reach out to anybody. I didn't reach out to the real estate agent. I didn't reach out to the architect or the artist yet, because I still hope that there was a glimmer of that there might actually happen, that this actually might come about, that this will actually work. And it wasn't until I got a call from the real estate agent, and he was like, what's going on? What do you think's happening? And I said, you know, I'm going to reach back out to him and see. And it was the same story. Hey, I'm just waiting for this to happen. And, you know, Ashley, it'll take place. No big deal. And in the process, I had introduced him to most of my friends, to some of my relatives, and to a lot of people in my life that meant something and really, I really care about. And everybody means something to me. But I mean, really, not only the people that mean something to you, but the people like you really look up to and the people that don't really know you well enough to know how you are. And so this is one of the first big appearances that they're going to make a lot of judgments on you based on whatever turns out in this situation. Well, as you can feel it, I think by now, he ended up taking off. And he didn't have the money, and he had no intent of ever buying this place, even though he signed contracts and everything. It was all a ruse. It was all a scam. And the scam was done for several reasons. I think one of it was because, unfortunately, I don't believe that he was all mentally intact, meaning that there was reasons for him doing it. I think he wanted to have feelings of grandeur, and he wanted to spend a lot of time with these various people and hobnob and be seen as, you know, the guy in charge. And there's a lot of other issues, but we don't have to sit there and psychoanalyze the whole situation right now. Why I talk about this situation and why I bring this up is, guess what? He ran out of town. And I was left holding the bag, dealing with the developer, the person that owned the property, and say, you know, hey, you know, this is what happened. Dealing with the real estate, even though the real estate agent totally got it and understood, and he got mad about it, everything else. But it didn't make me look good. And I spent a lot of time not only going and looking for property and setting appointments and looking at real estate, but I spent a lot of time in my head creating a business plan. I also spent legal fees. So I actually drew up legal documentation and spent thousands of dollars on that alone that I could never get back. And I had to pay this, you know, I didn't pay until after he had already jumped town. But I still had to pay because I couldn't let them stand there and wonder what's going on. I still had to pay. And so what I'm talking about tonight is doing your homework. Doing your homework when it comes to the big issues in life, when it comes to the big agreements in life, it's time, even as adults, for us to step up and do our homework. So stay tuned. When we return, I'll be talking about the three places that you still need to do your homework and why. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
Up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, I'm talking about the three times that you still have to do your homework, even as an adult. I realize that most of you are post-school. You've already graduated. You moved on. And a lot of us don't see that we need to do any more homework. We've done enough homework. We've done enough this. We've done enough essays. We've taken enough tests. But why would we have to do more homework? And I'm glad you're thinking that, because there's three times in life that as an adult, you still have to do your homework. And if you were listening to the first segment, I was discussing the concept of when I went into a business dealing, did a lot of work, did a lot of legwork, spent a lot of money on something that never came to fruition based on the fact that I never did my homework. At not one time did I do a background check on this person. At no time did I do a Google search on this person. At no time did I ask supposed family and friends about this person. And a lot of us don't do our homework until it's too late. And when was the last time you did your homework and it was too late? Because I've done that before. I did it in that situation. In that situation, once the realtor and I came to the conclusion that the money was never coming in, and that we were just wishful thinking to think that this was actually a reality, we began doing our homework. It did not take long. It took only a few minutes to put in this person's name and find information on him on Google. And the information we found, the very first article we found about this person, was basically pinpointing the fact that this person wasn't really living in reality. Wasn't living in reality, because of the article that was written, this person had tried to buy a building for a few pieces of silver. And the articles go on and on. Had I had just Googled 7 months before when I first met, it wouldn't have been a big deal. And I hate to break it down like that, but I think for some of us, because we want to believe, and in that situation, I had this great idea to help children. And I wanted to believe that somebody had the same draw and the same dedication and actually had some financial means to make it a reality. And, you know, so half of me was in like this yala land thinking, okay, well, this guy, you know, this is great because I wanted to believe it. And I think the want to believe things is the reason why we have to do our research. And the want to believe things and the want to believe other people is based on kind of not only a need and of acceptance, but just the dream and the joy that things could actually come to pass. And I think a lot of us have gone through difficulty in our lives where, you know, we're just kind of like, man, this would be great if this happened. You know, maybe this is what it's all come together for. And we lose sight sometimes, but you know, it's good to dream. And it's awesome to have beautiful ideas and dreams and thoughts and direction that you can believe in, that you can get solace from, that you can get creativity from, that you can allow you to have a muse. And it's these things that I think are interesting. These are the reasons why I think that research is so important, because you should never stop dreaming. You should never have to stop dreaming. And you shouldn't have to always second guess things. But I think it's better to at least know some of the truth. And there might be sometimes that you do some background that nothing comes up. Not good, not bad, nothing comes up. And I think that that's okay. I just think that if there's something glaring, you have to know. And so the first time, the first way, and the first reason why we as adults need to do our homework is any time that we plan on entering into a business partnership, plan on doing business with, or getting involved with somebody in a business capability. And why I say that research is so important is that, one, you need to know that the people you are aligning yourself with have the same values as you do. Do they have the same values as I? Do they care about the same things that I care about? Do they stand for what I stand for? And that's something that's interesting. And I'm not saying that you're going to find all that in a background check. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that you can definitely piecemeal some things together and find out some situations and some concerns that might be concerning before it becomes a concern for you. And I've been on the other side of that, where if I would have just done the homework earlier, life would have been easier. I wouldn't have wasted so much of my time. But better yet, I wouldn't have put myself in a bad position. And sometimes we just take things for granted, and other times we just take things for face value. And I think there's sometimes that you get a feeling about somebody that maybe you don't have to do your homework. But I think when the stakes are high, and you have to do things that are big as far as aligning your companies together, or aligning yourself together with that person, and their ethics are very important, or coming together in a partnership, a business partnership, these are important things that can't be taken lightly. Because what happens if they don't stand for what you stand for? What happens if there's been a lot of issues on their side and it doesn't make sense for you to come together and work together? What if they have a bad reputation? And I'll give you another example. I had a friend of mine a couple of years ago bring on another doctor into their medical office. And they had done some of their research, but I really don't think they did. I think they kind of just assumed things. But that doctor had a couple of black marks on their reputation. And they had some real negative write-ups by past patients. And I think sometimes you have to really do your homework before aligning yourself, because you never know how that can affect you. And some things are water under the bridge, and some things have passed, but some things have not. The other day, this is a very good example that just happened the other day. This is less than a week old. A friend of mine told me that there was a person that was very interested. They were working on selling some property, and they were interested in having a big party to highlight the property, and were willing to use this property and to have this party for whatever. So it could be, it was not only to show the house and to eventually sell the house and to give the PR to the home that it needed, but they were also open to all kinds of suggestions. So, you know, they called me to see if I could come by, and I did. And you know, we all talked for a while, and everybody seemed very nice and very nice people. And I thought this was great. And when we left there, we went back over to my friend's office, and he's in real estate as well. And it's just kind of in my formulation now, before I do work with some people, I want to know really what's going on. I just need to know and make sure that it's not going to end up coming back to bite me, okay? And I think a lot of us have to look at life like this a little bit, because I know bad things have been done by good people, and we have the ability to repent and to move on. However, sometimes some people don't repent, and sometimes the bad things that people have done, they might not still do the same bad things, but it could actually cause you problems, but also some of the bad things that people have done, I don't think that you want to be involved with them. And so this situation, so I ended up Googling this person's name that we had just met. And it was the weirdest thing. No. I was actually trying. Okay. No, I take that back. I was actually trying to friend them on Facebook. Yes, I was trying to friend them on Facebook. So I put their name in on the search in Facebook. And instead of showing a profile, it opened up and it was various articles and updates with this person's name in it. And I looked at the very first one, and then I looked at the second one, and they were the same. And so I opened one, and it was from a newspaper out of state explaining that this person has 30 felony counts of fraud, amongst a lot of other things. Millions and millions of dollars worth of fraud and embezzlement and fraud. And I was just literally flabbergasted that this was the scene. And I show my friend, he's like, oh my gosh, what is that? And what I'm saying to you is that you don't have to sit there and make comments. You don't have to sit there and blast it. The last thing you want to do is to increase negative press for people. But I think with that knowledge, a normal person would normally probably continue to move on and maybe just make a call to that person and say, hey, I really appreciate you giving me this option, but at this time, I really don't have time to dedicate the time for that. And it was interesting because I actually didn't have time to do this, and my friend was wanting to work on this, which is great, but I think it's interesting. And he thought it was very interesting about finding that information. And after you find that information, at that point in time, you have to make the choice if you want to continue or not, especially when it comes to business dealings. If you're going into a partnership with somebody and you find out some incredibly negative press on them, you have to sit back and decide, is this somebody that I want to go into business with? Is this somebody that has turned over a new leaf? Is this somebody that's become more honest? Or am I dealing with a lot more of the same? And you have to understand, you have to make a decision. And I think the only way you can make an educated decision is to be educated. And that means you have to do your homework. You can't be educated in life without doing homework. You can't understand the meaning behind a novel if you don't open the novel and read it. And this is simple. It doesn't take a lot of time, and you don't have to buy those expensive background check type kits. All you have to do is go online to Google and put that person's name in. And you don't have to believe everything you read, because some of the stuff out there might not be true. However, if there's a lot of it, you might want to beware. And even you can also always, and I always stress the fact that if you don't know if what you're reading is true, it's always good to ask the person straight up. And this can be painful for a lot of you out there because you're too scared. Some people are too scared to do that. And I get it. But, you know, when you ask somebody a straight up question, their body language is probably going to explain a lot to you. And then at that point in time, you have to accept it, what they say, or reject it. And if you accept it, that means that you accept the truth. If you reject it, you don't accept that as true. And you move forward, either with them or without them. So stay tuned. When we return, I'm going to be talking about the two other times that you actually need to do your homework as an adult. And Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in two shakes.
Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, I'm talking about the three times you still have to do your homework as an adult. You know, it's really important because when we need to do our homework as an adult, sometimes we fail to do it. We fail to do it because we think we know everything. We think that we're on top of our game. We think that everything is just perfect. However, a lot of times we don't catch the problematic situations until it's too late. Much like what I was talking about in the beginning of the show, I had no idea that that man was full of BS. I had no idea that his game was so well played that all of us were going to look like idiots, waste a bunch of time, and I was going to waste a bunch of money on a venture that was never going to happen. And it wasn't until I started questioning, because it had been a week since the money was supposed to have been wired in, that I started doing my homework. And that's, for that matter, that's when all of us started doing our homework. It's almost like those shows where they've already robbed the bank and we're still outside of the bank trying to figure out how to get in the bank, but they've already taken the money out of the back, blown a hole out of the back of the bank, and they've already taken off, and we're in the front of the bank still looking up trying to figure out how to get in the bank. Like, it's too late, too little, too late. Some people lose a lot of money. I mean, Madoff and a lot of other names come to mind when I think about not doing your homework and allowing either greed or belief or the prayer for things to work or the hope to get in the way of reality. You know, when it comes to business with me, and I know this might sound small compared to what I was talking about, being that, you know, people are going around, you know, saying they're going to do something and don't. But I've had a lot of people come into my office and, you know, talk about wanting to get involved on the show or wanting to be on the show or what have you. And the first thing they ask me after they've talked for a long time is they ask me a question. What's your show about? What's my show about? What's my show about? What are you doing? You come in here and you want to be on the show, but yet you don't know what it's about. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. I'm not trying to get on Rachel Ray's show. I mean, I can make a really, really good salmon, and I can make a really great black cod, and I can make some really great eggs, but I'm not trying to get on Rachel Ray. I know that Rachel Ray's show is a cooking show. And I mean, I know that this is funny to folks listening right now, is that I've had people want to come on the show and cook. And that's great and all, but, you know, nobody can see it because right now we're on radio. Eventually we'll be to that next level and be able to have a picture where people can see what we're doing, and that might be sooner than later. But right now, being that it's just that, I would have to describe everything to a T. I've also had people that want me to, you know, to cover just local news, but that's not part of the show. And I've had other people come in and have no idea what the show's about. Why would you even want to come over if you don't have an idea what the show's about? What if it's awful? And that's what I'm talking about, is you want to do your homework because it makes you look better. Like, when was the last time you went into an interview? I hope you did your homework. I hope you knew what the company made. I hope you knew where the company's headquarters are, where, you know, what its beginnings were. What were the beginnings of this company? Who founded it? Who's involved? How many people work for it? What's their mainstay for making money? Why are they wanting to hire somebody? I mean, all of this stuff. Who's actually interviewing you? It doesn't hurt to go on LinkedIn and find out who's actually interviewing you. That can actually help you quite a bit. But people have a tendency of not doing that. And the next way, the next time that you need to do research, is when it comes to property and products. Property and, yes, products. I mean, think about it. If you buy property on a floodplain, that's not too good. That's not going to be good for anybody. Think about it. There's a lot of things in property that we take for granted. We don't think about the history of the property. We don't do any investigation on what was there before. What happened in that house? And I know for some of y'all, you know, you're into the ghosts, into the hauntings and stuff like that, but some people aren't. And there's something to be said about knowing, you know, were the people alive? Did anybody die in this home? Okay? Just something to think about. What was this property used for? What was on this property before? Is it on a floodplain? Can you get insurance? All kinds of different options about property, because property is an expensive purchase. And the next thing to do your investigation on is your products, doing your research, doing your homework. And I think for most of you out there, especially most of the men out there, most of the prospective male listeners, you do your homework, right? When it comes to electronics, when it comes to computers, when it comes to cars, You know, when you're thinking about buying a new car, how many months of homework do you go through to determine make, model, year, if you want to buy one a year old, 2 years old, why, engine, maintenance, complaints? Think about it. You know, it's like the floodplain versus the lemon. I mean, you know, you have more of a higher chance getting a lemon on a product that's no good, on a product that you didn't do a lot of research on. And, you know, homework is our viable way to prevent us from pain and loss. And I do my homework when I'm not out buying a lot of property, okay? Being on how much I make as a therapist and a life coach and on the radio, I'm not out there buying a lot of property, okay? You can't say anything good, don't say anything at all, right? However, I do buy products. And just right before I came into the studio tonight, I was actually looking at, because, you know, we've been having a little bit of mosquito issue around one of the studios, and sometimes they get inside and what have you, and I started doing research, and it's something very simple and not a very expensive product, but something that's important: bug spray. Bug spray for humans and for whatever, but something that is not toxic. I don't want the DEET, D-E-E-T in there, no. I have like this affliction to that. I don't know what happened, but when I was, I guess a few years back when I used a lot of that Deep Woods Off or something like that, it gave me some sort of, I don't know, it was almost like being exposed to some sort of chemical that every time you're exposed to it, it kind of makes you feel weird. And I kind of start acting strange, and I get a bit of a fever now when I use it. And so I decided for everybody, you know, being that I have to be on the radio and put some bug spray on, and for everybody out there, and for my family that has to deal with me, I should find a spray that makes sense. And so I did my research. I went online, and I looked at Consumer Reports. I went online and I looked at two other reports on which spray's better, which one's healthier, which one has less chemicals in it, which one is more organic. Then I went to various, you know, like Amazon, and I read reviews. And I cross-referenced those reviews because I want to make sure that they work with mosquitoes. I want to make sure that it works with no-see-ums. I want to make sure that it works with XYZ, right? And heck, why not work with flea and ticks too? I mean, if we're going for the gusto, you might as well just clear it all out. But I don't want to have something that's toxic, but I want something that works. And I went through a lot of research, and I think I found that thing, and I ordered it. But I researched to find out, because when was the last time you bought something like that and it didn't work? And I've had that before, where you bought something that actually, it was like, oh my gosh, like you must have sprayed some sort of aphrodisiac on yourself that mosquitoes love. I've used something like that in the past, where I must have sprayed like the come to me mosquito, I'm in love with you spray all over my body. I mean, talk about it. I was scared to death. And I was in a part of a region at that point that had a disease that was making its way around that causes pain and joint, not just joint discomfort, but it actually caused people to be bedridden for months at a time. And I'm over there screwing around with some bad bug spray that doesn't work. And so we a lot of times we might not research things because they might be small, but are they that small? Is taking the chance of getting a disease that affects people for 6 months to a year and still has causes lifetime pain in joints, that to me is not a small thing. That's kind of a big thing. And yes, I understand that the bug spray at the max would be $10 for a bottle of bug spray. However, I'm talking about your life there. Just like with property, I mean, when you get into a property, that's a big expense. And you need to know what you're getting into before you sign that dotted line. You need to know that you're getting exactly what you were told you're getting. And that to me is important. And I think that, you know, as an adult, I realize that we're out of school, and I realize that our school has passed us by, but the homework, when it comes to the important things, have it. The homework is what allows us to not only grow, to learn, but to achieve greatness. Because we stop falling into the same traps. You know, we stop falling into the same traps, we move on, and we also research to make sure that we're choosing wisely. And we do our homework to know that, in fact, we're making the right choice. Stay tuned when I return. I'm going to give you the third important time of when we as adults have to still do our homework. Hey, in the future, check out AshleyBurgess.com, Ashley, BERGES.com. That's my website. And you can read all my latest blogs and you can comment on anything because I want to hear from you. You can also contact me as well. Check me out on Spreaker, Speaker with an R, Spreaker, Spreaker. We're ranked highly in society and culture, Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. And we return to me talking about that third time that you still got to do that homework. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in two shakes. You could
be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight I've been revealing the three times that we still have to do our homework as adults. You know, the first reason why we still have to do our homework is when we're entering into partnerships, business partnerships with other people, doing business with other people, or wanting to get involved with what other people have to offer in their business dealings. You know, the second was the idea of property and products. Last thing you want to be is on a floodplain, or your last thing you want to be doing is driving a lemon. When we do our research when it comes to business and partnerships, we align ourselves in the right places. We're able to be successful, or at least more successful. And we have probably a better option for our outcome. And we're not just like letting life pass us by. We're actually seeing where things are and accepting or rejecting being involved. You know, when it comes to the products and services and our property, it prevents us from a lot of pain and loss when we do our research. This is a big expenditure. Buying a home is a big expenditure. And to know that you bought the right home in the right place with no problems, that's golden. You can take that to the bank. To know what the foundation's like, to know if there are termites, all these things need to be researched. And if they are, it can, you know, cut back on a lot of stress and anxiety later on down the road. You know, when it comes to products, like I was talking about the bug spray. You know, it might not be a life or death situation, but, you know, contracting some sort of mosquito-borne virus that's only down in certain areas that causes, you know, really intense muscle pain and the inability to walk for a little while and to move your muscles, that to me is a big deal. And so researching that $10 bottle of bug spray is a bigger outcome than just the $10 bottle of bug spray. That actually has to do with the fact of keeping yourself safe, on keeping yourself healthy, and that responds to a lot of things. So your car, the stuff that you put on your face, the soap you use, does your soap kill any sort of germs? Does it not? I had a friend of mine that recently got staph infection, and he got staph infection to the bone, and not only that, he had to be quarantined for a period of time because he was a professor, not only a professor, but a president of a university. And he's one of the most brilliant people I know, but we talked about that, and his doctor had said, you know, remember, from now on out, always use certain types of soap. And some of us don't realize, we don't think about it when we're buying things, but some things don't have the capability that we need. And it's good to read labels. It's good to know what things mean. It's good to know what kind of food you're eating. It's good to know if you're taking in GMOs or you're not. And the only way that you can know that is by doing your homework. It's because a lot of times it's not just posting on every wall, hey, this place serves GMO or this place serves XYZ. Instead, a lot of times you have to go and investigate and find out for yourself exactly what you're intaking. And that's been the key to a lot of our issues here on Earth now, is that we take things for granted. We assume we can eat anything and we'll be fine, but is that true? I don't think so. I don't think that's true. And the last but not least, the third time that you still have to do your homework, and I think this is, some people will probably disagree, but I think some people might actually think it's kind of weird, but I think after you listen to this, you might actually see where I'm going with it. The third time that you still have to do your homework as an adult, I believe, is before you ask someone to marry you. Before you ask someone to marry you, I think that you need to do research on them. Before you ask somebody to marry you, I think you need to know not only who they are and who they've told you they are. I think it's a good idea to go on Google and check it out. And why I'm saying this is there's some people with some really jaded past that might not be the perfect person to marry. And I also say this to anybody out there who feels as though their girlfriend or boyfriend is leaving some important stuff out of the equation or seems to not be saying enough or doesn't say a lot or whatever else, it's time to look them up. It's time to know a little bit more. I mean, what happens? I mean, think about it. What happens if you end up, you know, falling in love with someone that, you know, their last two husbands mysteriously died? And I know that's an extreme. That's more like some sort of film, you know, concept where the damsel in distress wearing a skin-tight red dress comes into your life and you fall madly in love with her. And as you're falling madly in love with you, any of those little cute little hearts are like coming out of your chest, you know, as that's happening, as you fall deeper and deeper in love, the next thing you know, you ask her to marry you and then she kills you because she's the Black Widow. But seriously, there's stuff that's not as insane as that that happens all the time. That happens all the time. Some people taking people for money. Some people with rap sheets where they've had where they marry people for their money. All kinds of different things. And I'm not saying that it might be that extreme, but it could be other things that you need to know. And I'm not saying this to put a wedge between your relationship, but I think anybody nowadays needs to be educated when it comes to any sort of relationship that ties you to someone else. So remember that. It doesn't have to be for every single person you meet, because you'll be at home Googling everybody every day of the week. But what I'm saying is anybody that you have a bigger connection to, a business partner, somebody that you're working with like on a big project, somebody that you're going and buying property with, the property that you're buying, the products you're buying, and better yet, the person you're wanting to marry. The person you're wanting to marry will be somebody that you see more than anybody else in your world. You'll see them more. You'll see them when you're waking up, for the most part, unless you're out of town. You'll see them when you're going to bed. You'll spend a lot of your life with them. And that person needs to be a genuine person. And I think nowadays, the truth is coming out about a lot of things. The truth is coming out about a lot of people and about a lot of things, and it's coming out fast. So why should you stay in the dark? If you have the ability to know stuff, if you have the ability to do your research, if you have the ability, better yet, to do your homework before a situation blows up in your face, I think that it's a moral imperative to make that a reality. Because I think that when we don't do it, even if we feel like, oh, that's kind of weird, or oh, that's kind of smarmy, or I don't know, I feel a little odd, you know? I mean, she probably tells me everything. It's no big deal. Really? I mean, is that the kind of like agreement you get when you go and on Craigslist to buy a car and the person says, yeah, it's great, just buy it. Yeah, don't worry about it. Just buy the car. It's in perfect shape. Yeah. Just buy the car. And you're like, next thing you know, like all you get was a picture of a car. Seriously, you have to do your research. You do it when you're buying a car. You do it when you're buying electronics. Why not do it now when it comes to other humans? And you know what? It puts it in perspective, and it also allows you, and it allows us to realize that, yeah, we can do some things wrongs, and people have had wrongs in their life. I mean, people have gotten in trouble in their life. But I mean, if it was a long time ago, that's one thing. But if somebody has a rap sheet or somebody has a consecutive amount of felonies or somebody keeps on getting in trouble, just got in trouble last month, this is something that you need to be aware of. And you can only deal with this situation as long as you know the truth. The truth is the only thing that will set you free, and the truth is the only thing that allows you to live a life that you want to live. Why add more pain and suffering to your life? Why add more pain and suffering when you can have a life that's at complete and utter peace? And this is the first step. When we do our homework and we know what we're getting into, there's a lot more clarity comes to mind. We have clarity, even if we find out things that we may have wished we didn't know. We were successful in finding out things. And then at that point in time, it's up to you to go to that person and to either discuss it with them or to move on. And I'm not going to tell you in that situation what you should do, because I don't think that it's a, I don't think it's a one-time option. I don't think it's just a foolproof thing where you got to do it this way or the highway. I think some relationships, you probably ought to go to that person and discuss with them. I think in certain relationships, you ought to spend the time and sit down and let them know what you found. I think in other relationships, it's not worth it. Maybe you're not that close. Maybe, you know, y'all hadn't really gotten in working with each other. And so, you know what? Let it go. But then you kind of have to look at it. And I'm going to give you the last caveat of this show, because this last caveat is something that you need to maybe pay a little more attention to. Karma. You know, a lot of times we kind of like allow people to do whatever. And recently I've been realizing we have to be aware of karma, because if other people are screwing other people over, using them, extorting them, stealing money from them, and then we're connecting ourselves with them, that could come back badly on us. And so that's a big deal too. And so in order to do the research, that also prevents you from having a lot of pain and suffering in your life. And I don't think that life is all about pain and suffering. I think that life is about happiness and peace. However, when we bring people into our life who have caused pain and suffering to other people, we in turn later on may actually get that pain and suffering ourselves. You know, it's the same as if your friend is married and having an affair and you're okay with it and you're all good with it, that might be a problem. I'm not saying that it's across the board, but sometimes you have to sit there and say, hey man, this is how I feel. But the same thing is with the research and with the knowledge. Once you have the knowledge, you have power. And how you use that power is all up to you. On Perspectives, always more answers, less questions. Check out AshleyBurgess.com, Spreaker with Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, and I look forward to the next show. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in three shakes.